This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
It's time for a special playoff edition of NFL Red Zone with Todd Lebo.
The Red Zone is brought to you by Casey's Own CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Your exclusive home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 55. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome into a Wednesday edition of NFL Red Zone. On Sports Radio 810 WHB, I'm Todd Lebo. I've got you for an hour here to take you up to 8 o'clock with Almost Entirely Sports and Joshua Briscoe. Over the next hour, we're going to hear from Stan Weber as a guest and Jeffrey Chedia from NFL Network. We'll also hear from the head coaches, Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills a little bit later, and Andy Reid. I'll tell you exactly kind of how things went today with the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes did participate in practice. He was not made available to the media because he is still in concussion protocol. So he's progressing along well, according to the Chiefs. He was a participant in practice, as I said. This isn't high contact practice. Andy Reid was a little bit ambiguous today. Might as well play a soundbite for you right here if we can, about where exactly Mahomes is in the concussion return to play protocol. It's a five-step process. The description Andy gives here means he's about on step three.
Yeah. Well, it's a, whatever day we're in here. So it's that they kind of base it off of that. He's done well up to this point, and they just progress you through the day. So today was, work, limited work and no contact, I think was the schedule for today. So that's kind of what we're doing on Wednesday. So it fit in perfect with that.
So they're going through these steps maybe like a day at a time, which is what a lot of people say happens. There's no rule that says you have to do it that way. But day three would be Wednesday, and then day four tomorrow, I expect him to be a participant in practice again, perhaps full on Friday. But as I said, they don't do full on, like, hit you in the mouth practices. That's not what happens anymore in football, in the National Football League, especially at postseason time. That's just not what happens. Not what happens at all. But this is an important game, obviously. Win or go home. And they've already played the Buffalo Bills this year. They faced them earlier in the season. They won 26-17 on that weird kind of Monday night. And there's going to be a different team this time around, right? Because the Bills have only lost once since then. And that was that Hail Mary game out in Arizona. So it's a pretty confident team. Chris Jones says they look like a team that is on the warpath.
Yeah, they're rolling right now. They're playing some of their best ball, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The defense has improved since week six, since we played them. And quarterback is playing outstanding. Been saying it all year. He's playing at an MVP caliber level. So they're steamrolling right now, man. They're firing on all cylinders.
They certainly have a healthy dose of respect for the Bills. There's no doubt about that. The Chiefs always kind of carry that into games and have that respect for them. Because, you know, when you're good, people are going to take their shots at you. That's the way it works in the National Football League. And when you're the champ, like the Chiefs are right now, you're going to get everybody's business. You know, they played the seven games in a row where they only won by a score. And that'll kind of perk your ears up and make you take notice of how much, you know, respect the other teams give the Chiefs. Eric Fisher says that's just how it is if you're going to be the champs.
Yeah, I think we've been getting everybody's best shot for quite a while now. And I think it's, you know, sometimes it can be exhausting. I mean, like in the preparation, you know, you cannot show up and have an off day. You know, everyone's coming for you. Everybody wants top dog. And, you know, I think we've been working our tails off to be in that spot. So we're not letting off the gas. We're preparing the same. We've been preparing for many years now. And, you know, that's what Coach Reed expects of us. EB expects of us. They're long seasons. I mean, going into week 19 here, but we've had this goal in mind and we've done everything we've needed to do so far. We just need to keep it going.
This has certainly been a long season, no doubt about that, for the Chiefs to kind of work their way through this entire offseason with, you know, no in-person meetings and all that. COVID pandemic's going on, all the daily testing, and they've done a nice job of handling all that business in their facility themselves. They've had a few tests pop up here and there, but they haven't had to be shut down the way a lot of teams have. They've taken this very seriously, and they had a long year last year. Remember, they were playing in February last year. A lot of these teams were done by then. They got vacations and did all that stuff. This has been a grind for the Chiefs, and they have been very, very professional about getting themselves back to this point. And, you know, they deserve all the respect in the world for that, no doubt. Okay, so we're going to go long. I know how it's going to be with Stan. I don't want to waste time. I'm going to go ahead and take us a break right here. We're going to get Stan Weber on the phone, talk to him about the Chiefs and where they stand right now. And with Jeff Chedia tonight, he's going to be on tomorrow night as well. But tonight, we're only going to talk NFC Championship game. So we'll do that with him a little bit later in the show as well. We are underway here on the Red Zone on a Wednesday night on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Red Zone is brought to you by Casey's Own CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Welcome back into NFL Red Zone Playoff Edition, AFC Championship Game Playoff Edition here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll have Jeffrey Chedia on, and we're going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. But right now, we're going to hear from my good friend Stan Weber, who I say is from football. That's what I say Stan Weber is from. He's from the Border Patrol, and he's from Sports Radio 810's College Game Day, and he works for Kansas State in the broadcasting, but he's just from football in my book, Stan. How you doing on this Wednesday, Stan?
I'm doing great, Todd. You said it well. The football is something that I love so much, and the past two weekends have been my favorite of all time. That 9-day period, Todd, where you go wild card weekend, Saturday, Sunday, games alone, you know, and now they made it 3 instead of 2. So we had 6 games that weekend, and then 9 days later you get the big boys involved as well, the bye teams, you know, even this year only 1 bye team from each of the AFC and NFC. You get them involved, and suddenly you got 9 days of football, 1 game at a time. I love it. And when your team in your area is continuing on to the big game, the big championship game, it is very exciting. So, yeah, I'm having a great time right now. Can't wait to see the Chiefs play another game and possibly get to another Super Bowl.
Now, the bad news is, Stan, it's only 3 football games left because there's not even going to be a Pro Bowl this year. That's the takeaway. It's bad,
you know,
isn't
Todd,
it?
You know how to push my buttons. You know me way too well. I am so excited about this weekend, right, and Sunday. But at the end, on the final whistle of the game, I'm going to go, there's only 1 game left.
There's only
1 game left. And I'll get all hyped up again, but there will be a slight bit of depression hit me because I do kind of think that's not enough. And then I go, well, it's a Super Bowl, and even people who don't like football that much or join us, you know, they people who don't even care are wanting to hear about it and go to the parties and all of that. So you say, okay, good, I'll get excited about the Super Bowl. And then it comes with a big time. So when the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, if you start pushing my buttons during that 2 weeks, I'm going to really maybe have a tear roll down my face.
Well, the good news is the Chiefs are probably going to go to the Super Bowl again. Now, they may not win, okay? They may not. We'll start right there. News of the day with Patrick Mahomes. He did practice. This was kind of a light practice, not a walkthrough, but he did practice today for the Chiefs. Andy Reid didn't specifically say which stage of the concussion protocol he's on, but it sounds like he's on stage 3, progressing towards stage 4, and full football activity would be stage 5. So if you see him in a – now, the weird part about practice in 2020 and 21, Stan, is there's no real contact in football contact in practice. So – even if he's cleared for stage 5, which is full football activity with contact, there's no contact till Sunday anyways. We know that much. But he is progressing as we thought he would, and that's an important thing because Chad Henne made some nice plays, right? Helped them win the game, for sure, against the Browns. You don't want to play an entire game against the Buffalo Bills with Chad Henne at quarterback. I love the Chiefs roster, right? We watched them beat, you know, with Matt Moore at quarterback, the Vikings last year, and almost beat the Packers, who were in the NFC Championship game last year. They have a great roster, right? This is a playoff roster, regardless of if Patrick Mahomes is at quarterback. But they're probably not a Super Bowl roster if they got to go through a whole AFC title game against the Bills if they don't have Mahomes.
Well, the difference is obviously night and day, okay? I mean, that's the main point that you talk about how good Patrick Mahomes is. I could make a case for you, if you'd like, about a 1990 team or so with Jeff Hostetler as the New York Giants quarterback. Bill Parcells' roster is so good that they could find a way to win and do things differently than they did with Phil Simms as a quarterback. And they went on and beat the Buffalo Bills. That was the first of those four straight Buffalo Bills Super Bowl losses, right? So, I can make a case that if you're a neutral fan around the country and you're getting ready to watch this Sunday, if Chad Henne's the quarterback, I'm telling you, get your coin out. You still got a toss-up game. The Chiefs could step up and win this game, especially with Buffalo not being used to being here and other matchups that the Chiefs have, and explosiveness and a great play calling by Andy Reid and a championship mentality from Tyrann Mathieu, et cetera. But why even go down that path if you have Patrick Mahomes? Because then you vault yourself into being a big favorite, a team that has all the advantages I talked about and Patrick Mahomes. So it's good news that he's able to have the activity that he does on a Wednesday. It's a positive, no matter how you look at it. I don't know how you diagnose and call these injuries and all of that. But if he feels comfortable enough, no matter what the injury is, that he's moving around on Wednesday, I have full confidence that he'll be at full speed. He won't be behind. He won't be rusty. None of those things are in play. We've seen the Cleveland Browns, for instance, get ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in that first wild card weekend, and everyone wondered, with a coach with COVID and hardly any time together on the field, just almost all virtual, could Cleveland play? And I was screaming at that time, yes, Cleveland will be fine. These NFL guys, it's so mental right now. Do they study the tape and understand their blitz pickups and where they're going to go with the hot reads? They don't have to have a lot of time out on the field together. They're very well trained and very adaptable. So it's the same thing here. The Chiefs will be fine, but the more time he's out there with the guys and get this subject away from the football team and just get on to what they need to be focusing in on, I think that's a real important thing for the Chiefs as they get ready. So it's really good to have Patrick Mahomes back, and the Chiefs then can still outplay with the advantages they have across the board. My question to you, Todd, is not so much about that. It's, how's the foot? Did you figure out how the foot is yet?
You know, they didn't ask about the foot today, and I had my hand up, and that was what I was going to ask, but they didn't call on me. It happens. There's a lot of people on the call today. The foot is going to be a thing. The good news is we get to talk to Coach Reed every day this week because it's a championship game. So if we get a chance, we'll find out about the foot tomorrow. Okay.
That's the thing I wonder. I mean, if it's a turf toe, I've had turf toe only as a grown-up, not as a player, because if I had it as a player, I wonder how I'd function, because it's really weird. You can run real fast and forget it for 5 seconds, but then you can bear it, like when you walk back to the huddle, it is screaming at you. But at some point, your body doesn't allow you to run for 5 seconds and then let it scream later. You know, like on some of those throws, when he's throwing to the left and Romo was going, I think that's affected him a little bit. I was in full agreement with what Tony Romo, the analyst, said for CBS. I thought that pain was kind of shooting in and his body was reacting a little bit, throwing the rest of his arm angle off and that kind of thing. So I'm really interested in, does that heal up easily and it's nothing this week compared to what it was last week, or will there be a carryover effect? And I wonder about that. Not that it'll make Mahomes really bad, but I still would like to see 100% Mahomes rather than a 92 or 85% Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt about that. That will be a factor as we move ahead, and we'll wait and see, because one of the things that Patrick has done so well is he's not a big, you know, they don't call a bunch of, they called a design play that he got hit on last week, but they don't call a bunch of design runs like quarterback draws. You'll see some of that from Josh Allen. You obviously saw it from Lamar Jackson, but he's a good runner. He's an effective runner when he needs to be, so that will be a factor. Stan Weber is our guest here on NFL Red Zone tonight, and let's talk about the Bills. I was thinking back, one of the kind of just weirder games the Chiefs have played all year, maybe in the past couple of years, was their game with Buffalo earlier this year. Weird because it got moved to a Monday afternoon because of COVID, and they had their schedule messed up because of the Titans. But also weird in that they ran the ball 40 times. It was just kind of like, let's get out of Buffalo with a win. This whole thing is odd. It wasn't slinging the ball all over the place. And that was because the Bills were giving them certain looks. Do you think it's in the Bills' best interest to do that same style of defense and hope that they're better on offense, or do you think they'll try to mix it up this time around?
Well, I think they're going to have to mix it up, because the main thing is they just can't show the same thing that they did the last time. Even if it's a sound strategy, the Chiefs will have a counter strategy to that. Does that make sense? I mean, in game, Andy makes good adjustments, but not nearly as good of adjustments as he makes in full preparation. In fact, you know the record. If Andy Reid has an extra week, a bye week, He hardly ever loses, and the Chiefs almost always play great. Well, that's just another example, I believe, that you give him time to prepare, and he's going to find weaknesses. So I just think that Buffalo is stuck. If they thought the strategy was make the Chiefs run, and make Mahomes hand the ball off, and even if they gain 7 yards, that's better than what Patrick Mahomes might do to us. And maybe they'll fumble or make a mistake, get a holding call, something like that, that will hold them back. That might sound good, and you might try to implement that strategy again. But, Todd, if it's the same strategy that you used last time, then Andy's going to have answers, and he's going to make you pay right at the beginning of the game. So I just think by definition they're going to have to change it up. Now, they may want to get back to that. At some point they may want to bend but not break. They may want to say, we're not going to get beat by the pass. We're going to make you run the football to beat us, and we'll see if they get to that. But they can't show their hand that way. They've got to work their way back. The thing is it's so easy for the Chiefs to throw off their opponent and get them to play a different style. That's going to be a real question in this ball game, and that's not so much on the defensive side, it's on the offensive side. Cleveland probably should have continued to run, in my opinion, keep balanced offense like they did to start the second half, but they kind of lost their head and started passing the football. So, you know, what do the Bills want to do? They really aren't in a mode with the running game they have to say, let's stall out the game. Let's run, and then make the Chiefs take a bunch of time when they have the ball. Hopefully they'll kick field goals, and we'll sneak out with, you know, few plays, few possessions, and win the game. Todd, that's just not what Buffalo is. They're going to have to let it fly. They're going to have to try to outscore the Chiefs. I think if they try to play a style that's not their style, then they're going to doom themselves to failure. They ought to just take a shot and go after it. Hey, you pushed my button earlier. Okay, remember when you did that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Yes.
I'm going to push your button right
okay,
now.
Okay, I'm ready. Yeah.
Here it goes. Back when Todd was a young man in 1988, Kansas played Oklahoma National Championship game, and Oklahoma ran people off the court, including Kansas throughout the regular season. Oklahoma ran the ball up and down the court.
I don't like this direction at all.
Okay, but KU, under Larry Brown, everyone knew they better stall the game out. You know, they better rush four, play seven back, bend but not break, right? Larry Brown said, we're going to run with Kansas. Halftime score, what was it, 51-50,
yeah.
Something like that. He surprised everybody, but Kansas adapted Oklahoma style and said, we've got to let it loose. So, Todd, I'm sorry, that popped in my brain.
Mm.
Then I thought of you, and I thought, you know, you deserve this example. The Buffalo Bills are like Larry Brown's team. They've got to go for it. Put it on Josh Allen's shoulders to score. And if you need 30 to win, you better score 30. And if you need 40, you better score 40. But don't play a defensive game that's trying to protect the running out of the clock. You can't stall the game out and slow the Chiefs down. I just don't think Buffalo can do that. They can't change their stripes. They're the zebra that needs to play that way. I don't think it's a great strategy to try to outscore the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win. But I do believe Buffalo's best chance is to let it fly and don't play overly conservatively.
Well, they certainly didn't come out conservative last week, Stan. I mean, they threw the ball like 17 straight times in their game against the Ravens. Their offense didn't do much. That was a weird day. The weather wasn't great. And Josh Allen has been, well, he's certainly better this year in the postseason than he was last year. Because last year he was very shaky, turned the ball over, had some oddball plays when they had a 16-point lead against the Texans. He was all right against the Colts, but he wasn't a world beater, right? That was a fourth quarter, last second ball game against a team that I thought they were quite a bit better than. In this last week, they scored 17 points, and 7 of those were literally defensive points. I mean, it wasn't like they got set up with a short field like the Buccaneers did a few times against the Saints. Their defense scored from 100 yards away. That wasn't a very good offensive performance by the Bills last week. Can the Chiefs duplicate what the Ravens did to make the Bills uncomfortable and kind of get them out of sorts? Or was that just a nice game plan by the Ravens that they're more suited to kind of carry out?
No. It's what you said originally. The Chiefs can do that. I said that Buffalo's got to come out flying high and ready to score. And I don't think it's going to be successful, but I think it's the only way they have a chance. The Buffalo Bill running game just is not a factor, Todd. It's the exact opposite of getting ready for the Cleveland game, where you had two running backs who duplicated each other. You couldn't tell with each back in the game what the plays are going to be. They didn't have tendencies. They were interchangeable. We all knew that going in. The Chiefs got Cleveland off their game, and they threw the ball a ton and didn't run the ball that much. Great job. Buffalo comes into this game really showing their colors. That the wind that was blowing at Buffalo, you don't have to say gusts up to 50. You can just say 35-mile-an-hour wind steady, you know? I mean, did you see those flags? I'm not
sure
how they didn't just fly off the stadium. For them to throw the ball every down in that kind of setting just tells you, Todd, what I'm saying. They don't have a comfortable feeling about their running game. Their running game really is more Josh Allen run or scrambles than Josh Allen passes. They obviously have a wide receiver in Stephon Diggs that is unbelievable. John Brown's plenty good. Cole Beasley's a good third down back, even though he's battling an injury right now. They have the receiving core. They got the quarterback to do some things. But I am not a big believer in Buffalo being a great football team right now. What you saw in the playoffs, I think, is more of what they are right now. I think last year, if you said the first half against Houston last year, Josh Allen, just see if you agree with this, Todd. On a 1 to 10 scale, first half, I'd give him a 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they led a double-digit score. Houston was shut out. I thought Josh Allen did fine. He ran for a couple of first downs. He was a 4. Then the second half, he was a 0 or a 1.
Right.
For the whole game, very bad. But, I mean, they folded and gave the game to the Texans and lost. So this year, we got a new Josh Allen. He's a much better regular season quarterback. So where do I place him? Well, in this playoffs, I would say he's a 6. You know, but let's just be realistic. Phillip Rivers had the ball in his hands to go win that game. Josh Allen didn't win the game. He was sitting on the sidelines hoping that Buffalo was going to advance. And the Ravens gave the game away by the interception and then a quarterback getting hurt on a bad snap. Game over, Buffalo wins. So I do not think this is a juggernaut football team coming in here. You can tell me about all their victories, and other than the loss to Arizona on the Hail Murray, Oklahoma quarterback, Todd Lebo's guy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about the last time they lost was against the Chiefs. You know, those things are helpful. I think they're well coached by McDermott. They have some momentum, Todd, but the real playoff football team looks like the real team, I think. And I just think that they're a good team with a little momentum. You may think Josh Allen is a little more predictable, that he's going to play well than you might have thought last week. But when I boil all the water out of this one, Todd, I think that now that we know how Baker Mayfield played in the last game, we know it's in the books. He had one bad interception. It didn't cost him points because of the missed field goal. I think Baker Mayfield played very well. And they forgot about the running game, but I don't think that Josh Allen's going to play better than Baker Mayfield did. And they don't have the running threat. The defense is – the secondary is better. The defense is a little bit better maybe than Cleveland. I just think they're repeating, playing the same type of game, and Buffalo might be easier to beat. In a matchup with the Chiefs, Buffalo might be easier to beat in Cleveland. So I don't think there are any big shakes. I don't buy into this Josh Allen's great and Buffalo's a whole new another level. I think the Chiefs could cause him a lot of havoc, and I could see Buffalo in some scenarios getting stuck in the mud and not really threatening the Chiefs, you know, scoring about 20 points or 17 points, and there's absolutely no chance they're going to win the game if they do that. They've got to touch the 30s to have a chance to win this game.
Yeah, that's the recipe against the Chiefs. You're probably not going to win this thing in the teens. Okay, so Stan Weber's our guest on Red Zone. The Chiefs have had to create pressure with L'Jarius Sneed or Charvarius Ward blitzing, things like that. They still haven't been able to do it with 4. I don't know if you need to, but, you know, the Ravens got to Allen a couple of times last week. The Colts got to him a couple of times as well. He had the big fumble near the end of that Colts game that would have really cost him if they didn't recover the ball. Can the Chiefs get some pressure on the quarterback without resorting to safety and corner blitzes?
No, I don't think so. But they will resort to that. Steve Spagnuolo is as aggressive as anybody, and Sneed will get there, and Tyrann Mathieu will get there. Your sacks are more likely to come from those two guys as they overload the box, run zone blitzes. You know, the Chiefs get there by mixing you up, mixing your offensive blocking unit up. They don't get there by a four-man rush beating your blocking wall. I mean, yes, Chris Jones is good. He'll get a push up the middle. He'll cause havoc. He'll make the quarterback eject once in a while with the football. But I don't think it. I think it's going to be the angles. And I think the Chiefs defense will be more thinking about, Todd, keeping Josh Allen on his side of the line of scrimmage. Okay? Mm-hmm. I meant his side of the line of scrimmage, not the pocket.
Right.
He's going to leave the pocket. I think that they are going to have certain rushers who aren't even going to try to get to the quarterback. They don't want to sell. You don't have to have a spy. You don't have to have a fifth guy like Hitchens or someone like that waiting and running with him as he leaves the pocket. You could do that. But if you have your linemen know that they're really a second wave, he doesn't run right up the middle that much when he scrambles. He has enough speed that he gets to the outside, and as you know, Todd, he'll fire the ball right when his foot's almost out of bounds down the field, 40 yards on a line. His arm strength's unbelievable, and he'll try to stick it in on dig. So until he's out of bounds or tackled, he's still a threat to throw the ball someplace and hurt you. But I think what you want to do is don't let him turn up field and have a choice to run. You know, say, okay, you scrambled away from the pocket, here you go, and then have a second wave there. Maybe it's a safety, maybe it's a defensive lineman, but just keep saying you're going to run parallel to the line of scrimmage. You're either going to run out of bounds for a 1 yard gain, or you're going to fire the ball downfield. But we're not going to let you get those runs, because he'll hurt you in the passing game some, but Buffalo will win only if he can hurt him in the scrambling game as well. Okay, because he can't throw them to a victory. They have no running game. He is the running game. So if it's second and 10 after a zero-yard run, and then he runs for 9 or 11 yards, that's how you lose the game. So make him complete. He'll have some spectacular completions. Like, how did he throw the ball that hard, 25 yards on a line, 5 yards above the ground, and stick it in there? And you go, okay, 25-yard gain or whatever, line it back up. Just don't let him run. And I think that's the best answer for the Chiefs, and I think they will do that. They'll do it with blitzes to keep him in the pocket, but I don't think they're going to try to go mad after him with the four rushers. I don't think those guys are going to get there.
All right, Stan, before we let you go here on Red Zone tonight, I want to ask you about Phillip Rivers. He is retiring now, played all those years in San Diego and in Los Angeles, finished his career by helping the Colts, you know, take the Bills to the wire on the road in the playoffs. He's never made a Super Bowl. He's been a multiple-time Pro Bowler, won some playoff games, especially early in his career, won some big playoff games. What's his legacy going to be? I like him. I think he was a great football ambassador. I like a lot of things about him and the way he goes about his business. He was in the division with the Chiefs and, you know, threw a lot of interceptions late in games and all that kind of stuff that hurt him. But he was a gamer. What are your thoughts about Rivers as he retires today?
Well, I think the points that you made really will carry the day. First of all, if we stand back and think of it from a national perspective, and remember, in the NFL, you got to be fair. This is the national game. We love our Chiefs, but there are plenty of people around the country that are studying Bills versus Chiefs, just like we are, Todd. I mean, they're that into the game, and it's not their team. Because they're looking at it, in general, as just a player who played for the Chargers as opposed to a division rival like we do. I think their view is going to be completely different. We see him somewhat as whiny and a rival, and every time that he won a game against the Chiefs, you feel bad. Every time he talked trash against one of our players, you started to not like him a little bit more. That's not the viewpoint from a step back. They're going to talk about the numbers he put up. You know, the things you said, great ambassador, all that, I believe that. I think he's a likable guy from that perspective, if you're not a division rival type of a situation. But his numbers are really good. He didn't win Super Bowls, but he's in that next wave. For the guys who didn't go to the Super Bowl, there's the Super Bowl winners, there's the Super Bowl participants, and there's the quarterbacks who never made it. Well, of the quarterbacks who never made the Super Bowl, he's in that elite group where his numbers are going to be good enough so it goes to the Hall of Fame, and they're going to think very positively about him. They're going to think that he is San Diego Charger football, because it really ended on his watch. I mean, he really is San Diego Charger football. People aren't old enough to know about Dan Fouts. Mm-hmm. Didn't you used to think Dan Fouts was San Diego Charger
absolutely
football?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but now you think of Phillip Rivers and forevermore. If they don't ever go back to San Diego, we'll say Phillip Rivers. So I think there's a lot of things to like about him. You know, I see his personal story and his family, and we can brag up Drew Brees and how great he is with his family. But, you know, Phillip Rivers is really the same type of guy. He just tries to hide it on the field by his mouth is flapping all the time, but it's usually just in fun. We loved Brett Favre when he did it, but he wasn't our division rival.
Right.
You know, Brett Favre used to talk to all those guys, those Minnesota Vikings and things like that. So it was a good career for Phillip Rivers. The reason why I don't have any hatred toward him is because he didn't beat the Chiefs enough. I mean, if you cannot talk this positively about John Elway around here, okay?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Like, Elway pulled the rabbit out of the hat too many times and punched the Chiefs right in the mouth and never lost in Denver and, you know, all the comebacks and rolling out on one side of the field and throwing it to the other. When the guy tears your heart out, you can't put a smile on at the end and then say, oh, I kind of like the guy, right? I don't really think Philip Rivers did that. Sure, he won the game in Arrowhead a couple years ago, right? The two-point conversion. But I can't find as much hatred about a division rival in Philip Rivers because he really didn't cost the Chiefs chances to win Super Bowls.
The Chiefs have blocked out like 2006 to 2012 when he beat them all the time. We don't even think about those.
Exactly.
They don't exist, right?
But who wasn't beating them then, you know? I mean,
exactly. They were losing to Jamarcus Russell back then, okay?
Scott Pioli and names like that. You know, we're not thinking about that, Todd.
No,
and that's the same thing with Philip Rivers. Don't you think of him as kind of an old guy who can't move and lofts the ball really high to time out where his receivers are going to go? I mean, he threw the ball earlier than any quarterback I've ever seen. But to be fair, if we go back and watch him back in those days where he lit it up and the Chargers were the best or one of the best in division, he had more velocity on the football because he could move just a little bit better in the pocket. So I don't think about the younger Philip Rivers. I think about the older one that has trouble moving and it's still kind of fun to watch. Didn't hurt us enough as a Chiefs. And I think, to be fair and step back, like I said, from a national perspective, I think he's a likable guy. And if he goes on television, Todd, and starts hitting home runs as a broadcaster, he'll change the complete viewplane. Okay? Let me give you an example. Did you know that Tony Romo, along with Darren Sproles, a local guy, was named as a new inductee to the College Football Hall of Fame?
Yep, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He went to Eastern Illinois. He is not even the leading passer. I think Sean Payton, who went to Eastern Illinois, is higher up on most of the passing stats than Tony Romo. Okay?
Yep.
Tony Romo was named to the College Football Hall of Fame. I propose to you the only reason why he was named to the College Football Hall of Fame
he works
is because
for CBS?
He plays for the Dallas Cowboys, and most importantly, he seems like a real winner as a broadcaster.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying Philip Rivers' reputation, if he goes into broadcasting, we may be talking about him being one of the greatest quarterbacks ever when it's all done. I mean, when you make it a second time, you know, as an announcer, they start thinking you played football better.
Right. Yeah.
Some
well, they're talking.
I play football well. Todd. Some people actually think that, but I stunk. I mean, you know, I wasn't that good.
There's these stories out there that he may move back to Alabama and coach high school football because his dad coached him in high school. I mean, he's an interesting guy.
Well, you can do that and still broadcast. So that's the
crazy should be able
thing,
to. Yeah.
Because Friday night you can say bye bye to your team. Saturday's off in high school and Sunday anyway, and go broadcast. So he could do both.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd listen to him. I like him. Hey, Stan, we're way behind here. We got behind. I love talking football with you, and I will wait for your official prediction for the game when you're on the Border Patrol on Friday morning, okay?
6:30 to 8 Friday morning. I hope you're listening, Todd.
I'll be up and listening to it, buddy.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, there's Stan Weber talking football right here on Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Red Zone is brought to you by Casey's Own CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Welcome back into Red Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo. We are brought to you by CBD American Shaman this week. We're getting ready for the championship weekend in the National Football League. And what better person to talk to about that than Jeffrey Chedia from the NFL Network and a Kansas City resident and a huge Chiefs fan. Right, Jeff? All the Chiefs fans know. We don't root for teams, right?
Yeah, I don't root for anybody, but I like to see the Chiefs win. Makes my life a lot easier around here.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, later in the week we'll talk about the Chiefs game, but I want to break down the NFC game because I think this is a fascinating game. We've got two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, no doubt about that. I mean, one of them is the greatest quarterback of all time because he's got all the rings and all the trophies. Aaron Rodgers, is he, before we get into the game itself, is he at the point where he's got to make another Super Bowl here, right? I mean, he's only made one. I mean, can you be in that kind of one of the greatest quarterbacks ever if you don't get to another?
Well, Dan Marino's in there. He never got to any.
He got the one, never won one.
Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I mean, it helps to have a couple, but I don't think anybody who's watched him play over the last, whatever it's been, 12, 13 years, thinks that he's not going to end up being one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. But I think he's got a great opportunity to get one, because I think what he's done there is buy into what Matt LaFleur has been selling. And he's still doing great things with his arm, but he's got a running game that's really strong. He's got a defense that's way better than anything he's had since he won his first championship. And I think playing at home in this game, it makes a huge difference for them. That's, if you've ever been to Green Bay in January, yeah, not a fun time.
Well, they haven't played. They have not hosted a championship game with him. So that's a big difference. They've lost a couple of championship games. They were in it last year, right? I mean, it's a very good team. But there is something about legacy. You got to get to another one at least. It's one thing. That's the fear I've been telling Chiefs fans about forever. Patrick Mahomes looks great. There's no guarantee the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl. And then you don't know what's going to happen the next year and the next year. And all of a sudden, maybe you got a new tight end and you got a different Tyreek Hill. I mean, the quarterback is the key. But it's not easy to make the Super Bowl, man.
Ask Drew Brees.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that exactly.
He made it one time. Peyton Manning, for as great as he was, he didn't make it 15 times. You know, he made it a couple of times with the Colts and a couple of times with the Broncos, had to change teams to do it. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I think they're going to win this game because I think they're the better team. But then I was looking back the other day, they got their butt beat by Tampa.
People forget that.
Yeah. I mean, they were up 10-0 in that game. That was a big 325, you know, game on TV, and everyone was all inspired up to watch it, and the Packers go out and they score a couple times. He threw a pick six, and the thing just unraveled on him. It wasn't like Brady was awesome or anything that day either, but they got physically beat up by Tampa that day. He got hit a bunch. He's thrown five picks. He threw two in that game.
Yeah. Well, and Tampa Bay's defense has gotten a lot better since the Chiefs played them. I think a lot of people remember that last outing or their last big loss.
They were better in that game after the first half.
Yeah, they figured it out. Yeah. And what you saw was a really good front seven. They had some issues in the secondary, but I think Todd Bowles has figured that out. And they're a very physical, get-in-your-face, push you around. They don't have great speed, but they play well as a unit, and that front seven gets after you. Their linebackers flow really well. They're really fast. And I think that's where Aaron Rodgers got last mm-hmm. time. He just wasn't ready for that kind of onslaught. But you get up in Green Bay, I think running the football again, what they've been able to figure out is we have Aaron Jones, we have Jamal Williams, and now we're going to get this rookie, A.J. Dillon, into the mix, who's really been impressive the last couple times he's played. People were laughing at that draft pick, by the way, when it was made. But now you see what he brings to the table. You have three backs who can run the football effectively, and you've got one of the best quarterbacks ever working it. That makes a huge difference in how you attack somebody. And I think they're a much better all-around offense this time.
We're talking to Jeffrey Chedid from NFL Network about the NFC Championship game. And remember all the hubbub this, I guess it was April or May, whenever they ended up having the draft. Oh, my gosh, they drafted another quarterback and all this stuff. I'm like, dude, the guy's not going to play. Don't worry about this. This is Aaron Rodgers' team. You have to do your due diligence and draft guys. I haven't heard anyone mention that. What's his name? Something
Jordan Love.
I haven't heard even a thought of him. It's just like people get so fired up in the second about one thing. This is Aaron Rodgers' team. They have a lot of weapons, and they always had that stat out there. They haven't ever drafted anyone in the first round to catch the ball. What, dude, you don't need all that stuff. He makes guys great, and he is as focused looking as I've seen him in a long time this year, which is why I like him in this game. You know, I think he knows how important this game is. I think he's never gotten to face Tom Brady in the playoffs. Tom Brady's in the other conference, right? I mean, this is huge for him too.
Oh yeah, he knows what's coming. He knows the task at hand. He knows the opportunity that's there for him. He knows the legacy stuff is out there. But I think he also knows that he's getting older, and he knows that the opportunities to have this, to play in this, in the Super Bowl and to win another championship, don't come around very often. And there's been a lot of, I think, I don't know if it's focus, I don't know if it's determination, I don't know if it's calm, mm-hmm. but he has had a look about him all season long that has said, look, I know who I am, I know how I want to play, I know what I've done in this game. He just seems like he's playing with a lot less baggage than he's ever had, and part of that's having to do less in this offense, because once they got all those pieces around him, the run game and the defense, he doesn't have to make all these spectacular plays. Like, he can just pick and choose when he wants to do those things. And actually, having lost last year, having been there last year, the NFC title game, and losing to San Francisco the way they lost, it's a lot of things that I'm sure he's bringing into this game that he wants to show people that this wasn't just a great magical season for me. This is a great magical season for this team.
Coach-quarterback relationships can be overblown. I think they're big. I mean, you can win and you know, have a not a great relationship. You know, that can happen. It's best to get along. And it went on probably too long with him and Mike McCarthy up there, or McCartney. I'm going to say
McCarthy.
McCarthy. It probably went on too long with that. It just wasn't working. They weren't getting the thing done. He wasn't happy. You could tell. And I wasn't up there in it, right? But just looking around at his body language, what you'd see on these press conferences and stuff, it wasn't a great deal. It looks like it's going really well with him and LaFleur.
It is, but they went through their own
early
growing pains.
Yeah.
There was some questions about who could audible when and how much freedom you had in the offense to do certain things. But I think what Aaron has learned, again, I think it's part of his age, part of it's just the way your career has played out, is that having the things he has now, being able to look around and say you got the defense in the run game, that shows a coach cares about you. He's not just coming in here and saying, you got to make it all happen. And I think he and McCarthy got sideways, from what I understand, from people who played there. It's just, if they'd have meetings during the week and Aaron would talk to his receivers about what they wanted to run, he would go up to McCarthy's office and talk about it and say, this is what we like. And then the game would come around and those plays wouldn't get
called.
And so there was a lot of distrust about that. And so that kind of just festered and built up over time. But, you know, I think every great quarterback, as they get deeper into their career, recognizes that they just can't do it Patrick Mahomes style now, where you can just will yourself, run around for 5 minutes, and then find somebody 80 yards downfield to make a great throw. That John Elway went through this, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady is going through this now, where he's really, like, you saw the way he played last week against New Orleans, where it wasn't 400 yards and four touchdowns. It was a lot of handoff, play action, 180 yards passing, but he recognized what kind of game they were playing and how they could succeed in that game. I think Aaron's made that same step.
Aaron's mid-30s. It looks to me, maybe his arm isn't what it was when he was 26, but it's pretty close. He doesn't look like he's lost anything on the fastball, right?
Yeah, he's still moving around well, and he's still zinging it the way he has to. Maybe that's because you're making less throws. I mean, I don't know what his total attempts were, but he certainly didn't have as many as Patrick had here in Kansas City, or some of the other quarterbacks around the NFL had. And I think that's, again, I think testament to how he's taking care of his body, how he's approached the game. He still has a way of making those throws off schedule that just blow your mind a little bit for a guy who's, you know, as old as he is. But, yeah, I mean, as far as arm talent goes, he's still – and I love Patrick. He's still the greatest thrower of the football I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah. It's incredible. The throws that he can make, the touch ones, the bombs, all the stuff is incredible. Now, on the other side, Tampa, Tom Brady looks like when he really needs to wind it up, he can still do it, but he doesn't have the arm that he had before. I mean, he's a lot older. I mean, he's a lot older than Aaron Rodgers. But he's smart, man. He knows when he's got
to – He went to Michigan.
Yeah, well, he's a Michigan man. He knows when he's got to wing it and when he doesn't. And it's really kind of come together for them. There was always – when it's Tom Brady, there's going to be some narrative. Every little word is going to get dissected. And there were times earlier this year when Bruce Arians would say, oh, well, you know, the throw was there. And, you know, he's like, what's going on with these guys? But Brady seems to be able to, like, just block all of that. He didn't have a great relationship at the end with Bill Belichick, by all accounts, right? I mean, that was because it was a little ego thing. Who's it more about? I think we're seeing right now. Might have been a lot about Tom. But how have you seen them kind of progress, and he and Arians through the year, trying, you know, getting to where they are now?
Well, I think it's been growing pains as well. I was at their first game when they played New Orleans, and it was ugly. You know, there was a lot of, you know, bad communication, special teams errors, all this stuff. It couldn't have been a worse debut. But I think what's happened over time is that Arians has realized, okay, as much as I want to have this deep downfield passing attack, like, I need to play to Brady's strengths. And they found a way to meld what Brady does well and what Arians wants to do. And I think some of that is just Arians just saying, hey, let's do more of what you want to do, because it makes you comfortable.
And they have a lot of weapons, too.
And the people like it. The players like
it. You know, and it's not – I mean, Gronk's a big name, and Antonio Brown was a big name. But they got a bunch of guys on that team who are good players who aren't necessarily household names outside fantasy football.
Oh, the Cameron Brates, the Ronald Joneses, the guy like Scotty Miller, who's a super fast, super
Godwin's
quick guy.
Godwin's a good player.
Godwin. Yeah, there's so many – we talk about what they have in Kansas City – they probably have a better supporting cast around
in total.
Until you start looking at the sheer numbers. I mean, if Antonio Brown's your third receiver, Antonio Brown's a much better receiver than Sammy Watkins is.
Yeah, you know, still.
If
don't want him near your football team, but whatever.
Yeah, you don't have a Travis Kelce, but Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brate put together, And O.J. Howard was hurt. People forget that, too. Yeah, so you've got three guys who you start going into their roster down the line, the depth chart, it blows your mind what they have to work with. I think the problem they always had that was frustrating for me as I watched them was that they had so many people that didn't know how to make it all work together. You know, sometimes you can have too many things.
They had no offseason.
To use, and no offseason. Yeah. But now it feels like when you watch them play, all right, red zone, you know, we're going to go to Gronk. We're going to go to Mike Evans. Middle of the field, we're going to go to Godwin. We're going to go to Antonio Brown out of the slot. We're going to use Jones and Fournette more in tandem. They're running the ball more. So they're starting to figure it out at the right time.
So I'm watching the game Sunday, and as a Chiefs fan, I'm like, how come the Chiefs don't have a linebacker who looks half as good as the Buccaneers linebackers? I mean, Lavonte David's been there for a long time. He's a baller, okay? I remember watching. He was in the Big 12 with Nebraska. That's how long he's been there before they even left. But this kid they got out of LSU is a stud, man.
Devin White.
Yes. I mean, he was like the fifth pick. The Chiefs aren't picking fifth or whatever. But they – I don't – and maybe I'm just wanting too much because you can't have it all. But, man, those look like some good – freaking linebackers they have. And the Chiefs, that's always a spot. Hitchens is okay. Damian Wilson's okay. Willie Gay's going to be the guy. I mean, you know, they can't find that guy. They haven't had a guy like that. You know, Derek Johnson was a very good player, but the Chiefs haven't had a linebacker in forever.
Well, when you have an offensive-minded coach, you tend to lean more towards the offensive toys than the defensive guys. You kind of try to get by with what you have. And so I think, you know, Bruce Arians – I forget who was the head coach before he went down there. It was the guy from he was in Atlanta forever as a coordinator. But anyway, I'm sure when before Arians got there, they were trying to build a more balanced attack. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of benefited from some of those guys around. Yeah. Like they drafted Devin White, but David, they went and got Shaquille Barrett.
And we got Sue, right?
Went and got Sue. Yeah, I mean all these guys. And so the point you're making is that I think their defense gets underrated because Brady is such a big name and their offense is so good, but when they played the Chiefs, after that first quarter, they started getting after Mahomes pretty good.
And they beat up Aaron Rodgers the last time they played. I mean, they hit him a bunch.
Yeah, they were hitting Drew Brees. Yeah. I mean, so it's like those guys, again, they don't have, a Tre'Davious White back there or a Jalen Ramsey, somebody in the secondary that really scares you in the corner. But collectively, when that front seven is going and they're playing the way they're playing, they can really cause you problems, which plays into what they want to do overall as a team. They want to turn you over. They want that offense to score points.
So who's going to win this game?
This is a tough one for me because I have so much respect and admiration for both quarterbacks, and I've known Bruce Arians a long time. I really like him. I've liked the Bucs story. I just feel like Green Bay is on a roll, and being at home, playing in that stadium, Lambeau, in January.
A few fans, too, right?
A few fans. Yeah, but just the cold was bad enough. So if you've ever been to Green Bay for a game in January, last time I was there, it was Tom Coughlin was coaching the Giants were there, and it was
coldest night ever.
It was cold. Yeah. And so I think you, being a team from Florida, you feel that, even though Brady played in cold weather.
He said after the game the other day his blood's already thin, man. He doesn't like the cold.
That's right.
Didn't take long to be down there.
Ooh, it's rough.
Yeah.
And so, but I think Green Bay is going to make up for what happened the first time around. They're going to win the game 28-27.
That's Jeffrey Chidea from NFL Network. We're going to catch up with him later in the week and talk about the AFC title game here on Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Red Zone is brought to you by Casey's Own CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Welcome back into the Red Zone. Going to wrap it up here on a Wednesday night edition of the Red Zone, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Thanks so much to our guests, Jeffrey Chidea from NFL Network and Stan Weber from football. That's right. That's what Stan Weber is. He's from football. You hear him every Friday on the Border Patrol, and he's been on Sports Radio 810 for 20 years talking football and breaking this stuff down with the championship games coming up this weekend. Again, a little news of the day, Patrick Mahomes, they held practice inside, so you couldn't see everything that happened, but he was out and about, and we'll see. It's going to take till the end of the week before we find out what's going to happen, but they're encouraged, I think, by what's going down with him right now. I do want to play one soundbite from Sean McDermott. He had a Zoom this morning that we got to get on. He's the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and he worked with Andy Reid
in Philadelphia back in the day, and he's certainly a fan of Coach Reed.
Well, it's always an honor to to go up against great coaches. I mean, Andy will be a Hall of Fame coach here in the future at some point down the road. And, you know, I've learned, and I've said this time and time again, I've learned a lot from Andy Reid in my time with him in Philadelphia. And so I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and his family, the way they helped guide me then and still do today. His wife, Tammy, is tremendous, and the way she is an ambassador as well to the league and the wives in the league, the head coach, head coach's wives in particular. And so they've really set the mold of how this thing needs to get done and done the right way.
And kind of building on that, you know, you actually got to learn from the great Jim Johnson when it comes to being a defensive guru. What are some of the traits that you took from him and, of course, building this Buffalo defense being to where they are today?
Yeah, well, I think you see some of the same traits in Spags' defense in Kansas City. You know, Spags was there as well with us. And there's just some, I guess, traits overall, character traits of the defense, you know, teams that want to affect the quarterback. You know, Jim was big on that. I know he had a, I don't know if hate's a strong word, but I think he had a very high dislike for opposing quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, he respected the quarterbacks. And I think, as you know, you mentioned the different quarterbacks, Philip Rivers just retiring, that's, they're really hard to go against. And you end up disliking those guys because they get in the way of having success. But you have so much respect for those guys because that's what drives our game and our league, quite honestly.
That's Sean McDermott, who Andy Reid actually had to fire from Philadelphia. And kind of got him out on his own. And he went to meet back up with Ron Rivera, another disciple of Andy Reid, and the rest is history. McDermott's done a nice job with Buffalo. And although he didn't beat the head coach who taught him a lot of things earlier this year, he's going to have a shot to do that this Sunday. All right, that's going to do it for us here. Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe is coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night, Kansas City.